We read the Word of God this morning in 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 5, rather. 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll read the 14 verses of the chapter. And for a little while this morning, focus our attention on verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 5. And notice the first four verses speak directly to the elders and indirectly then also to the deacons and to the pastor. And it's in that context that we consider the calling in verse 7 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, nor of filthy lucre, but of a steady mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen." It's verse 7 that I call to your attention this morning. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." This morning, we do think of those first four verses in connection with the installation of elders and deacons. The elders are mentioned by their office in verse 1. And the form indicated that that word elder, used here in 1 Peter 1, refers to their office as rulers, as those who govern in the church. Verses 2 and 3 speak of the work that the elders must perform in that office. They are called to feed, literally to shepherd, the flock. They are called to take oversight. There is the activity. They have the office of ruler, and now they are to exercise themselves in the activity of ruling, overseeing the life of the members. And as the form told you this morning, you are willingly to give yourselves over to the inspection of the elders. They are reminded of how serious their work is. They do not labor with the congregation as if it belongs to them. It is the flock of God, the heritage, the possession of God. And therefore, they are not to labor as lords, but they are to be humble as ensamples, examples to the congregation. That's a word that's fitting for the deacons as well. They are to be examples to the congregation, recognizing that their work too is done among God's people, the congregation that is God's purchased possession, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then there is, in verse 4, the promise to the faithful elders, and then deacons and pastors as well, that the chief shepherd shall appear, and when he does, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, the text that I call to your attention this morning does not speak directly to the elders and then to the pastor and to the deacons indirectly, but the text speaks to the entire congregation. This is your calling to cast your care upon God, for he careth for you. But there is a sense in which this comes to the office bearers first. Verse 3 says the office bearers are to be examples. Examples of what? Well, that is a broad calling, but now this morning, I want you to think of it this way, particularly in this. Who of all people should be the people who cast their care upon God but the pastor, the elders, and the deacons? And let them be then an example to the young people, to all of the members, to the older members, to the fathers and mothers, to those especially who have struggles, and we all have struggles. Let the office bearers be an example, and let the members of the congregation be able to say in their struggles, I cast my care upon God, following the example of the office bearers that God has appointed in this church. Besides that, this is a very important calling for the elders and deacons and the pastor in their work. They are aware, and maybe the men who have been appointed for the very first time are especially aware of how insufficient they are for the great work that God has called them unto in caring for God's sheep. No man may ever labor in pride, thinking he has the ability on his own. But let every office bearer take to heart the calling to cast this care, this work on the Lord, knowing that the Lord is the one who cares for him and his sheep. And this is important for the congregation to hear today too, not only that you cast your cares upon God, but even in connection now with the installation of office bearers, when you're asking the question, how do we do this? And we're going to look at that more in more detail as we go through the sermon. But you ask the question, how do I cast my care upon God? One answer, this isn't the only answer, but one answer is God has appointed these men as a means for you to do this. When you're struggling in your life, maybe as a young person, maybe as a married person, maybe as an elderly person, you have struggles in your life and you want to cast your cares upon God, one of the ways to do that concretely is go to these men. Go to these men. But remember, to keep things in proper perspective, let the pastor, the elders, the deacons always remember who they are. They're not God. Let them not encourage the members of the congregation to think, I'm going to cast my cares upon them. And let not the members of the congregation begin to put these men in the place of God either. Let's remember, they're mere servants. We must cast our cares upon God alone. He alone is God. And so let's put our trust in God and bring our cares to him on this, the first day of 2020. And let's use this text to put our focus where it should be when we begin this new year. Our focus is not in this text and ought not to be in our minds on the future. What's going to happen this year? That's a natural question for us to ask, and we begin to think about that. What's going to happen in my family? What's going to happen in my life as an individual? What's going to happen at work? What's going to happen at school? And we're thinking about maybe very many exciting things that we are anticipating in the new year. But it's also more likely that we're going to, when we're thinking about the future, focus on what trial, what heartache, what difficulty may I face in the coming year. Maybe we even enter into the new year carrying burdens, struggles. And then we're thinking the next year is going to be more of the same. Or maybe we're going into the new year and we have this sense of dread. Life has been going pretty well, but I know that it is the lot of people in this life to have suffering. Am I going to be the one who gets a phone call this year that will break my heart? Am I going to be the one who gets a report at the doctor's office that's going to bring me to tears? Am I going to be the one who has a business that fails? Troubles in my family or in my individual life? And the fact is, we don't know anything that will happen. So our focus shouldn't be there. Our focus should be on the calling. Cast your cares upon God. Do that. Make that your focus in 2020. And the promise. Make this your focus. A laser-like focus. He careth for you. So for a little while this morning, let's consider casting our care upon God. Our anxious care, first of all. What makes you anxious? What causes anxiety for you? And Peter says, cast your care upon God. By that word care, he is referring to, literally, anxiety, worry. What worries you? What keeps you from falling to sleep? What wakes you up after you fall asleep? What captures your attention during the day, so that you can't think of anything else? Maybe you're in the home and you have other things that you're trying to do, but you can't really get anything done because there's something that's weighing on your mind. Or you're at the workplace and you're trying to write that email, but you recognize that as you're typing the words, you're not really thinking about what's going on the screen because you're focused on something else. Or maybe you're even in a personal conversation. Someone is standing right there. You're having a conversation with them, but you recognize your mind isn't there because you're consumed with anxious care about something else. What is that? And Peter says, cast your care upon God. He is talking about whatever it may be, whatever it may be that makes you anxious. What do you think about as you enter the year 2020? Maybe it's not something you think about, but it could be persecution. The Apostle Peter is writing to pilgrims and strangers who are scattered about because of persecution. That was a reality for the early Christians. And maybe you do have a care, and if you don't, the office bearers ought to have a care for this, and parents too. The Word of God makes it very plain that we are strangers here. We are not citizens of this kingdom or any other kingdom of this world. We belong to the kingdom of heaven, and the fact that we're strangers means not only that, it means that the people of this world are spiritually different. They are our spiritual enemies. Spiritually, they are opposed to us. And if you think about it, we have reason to have a care about persecution from the world. I'm sometimes astounded when I think of the sermons that are posted online, the sermons that are preached in our churches. I think of the Standard Bearer and Beacon Lights articles, perhaps. I think of the Reformed Witness Hour and the testimony that we give as Protestant Reformed churches. I think of our Christian schools. And I know that we live in a day and age when people want to brand much of what we believe as hate speech. And there are people who are going after people who believe what we believe. And yet, our teachers, our students, our pastors, our websites, our magazines are not being attacked very much today. But we must not think, Peter warns that, I think, Reverend Matani touched on that in 2 Peter 3, that all things are going to continue on as they always have. We are strangers in this world. We must expect to be hated and mocked. And prepare, office bearers, prepare this congregation. Parents, prepare your children for not only being hated and mocked, but maybe even to be told you cannot buy and sell. To be tortured, to be put in prison, maybe even someday face the reality that Christians will be put to death. Maybe that isn't a very real care in your mind, anxiety. Maybe it's other kinds of trials. As I said earlier, maybe you're leaving 2019, dealing with the trial and going into 2020 thinking this is going to continue. Maybe it is a concern about a trial that hasn't come yet, or maybe it's even just the passage of time. I'm getting older. And it might not seem so serious, and yet once you get there, it starts to consume you a little bit. I'm seeing the signs of aging. I'm not as fit as I used to be. My hair even, my eyesight, my hearing, my joints, they're not what they used to be. And that can consume, we know that in our society, a lot of people's attention. Or maybe it is sin, the burden of sin and temptation. We sang of that in Psalm 102. God has made you by His grace sensitive to sin. And you live every day with the consciousness that you will never fulfill God's will for you as a Christian to live according to all of His commandments. And you're aware of the darkness of this world in which you live, the temptations that are out there. There's a website or an app that is promoting every kind of evil in 2020. You are concerned. Because you know, the world is good at encouraging, and you have an old man that is good at desiring every kind of sin. What temptation will I fall into in this coming year? And how am I going to deal with sin? Or maybe it is as something as simple as your everyday calling. I think Jesus calls our attention to that in Matthew 13. Where he speaks of those who appear to be Christians for a while. They seem to be interested in God, in His Word, in salvation through Jesus Christ. But they become consumed by the care of this world, care of this life. And what he's talking about there is that anything that is part of your daily responsibility can begin to consume you. You become anxious about it, worried about it, so that in the context of Matthew 13, you can be in church hearing a sermon that is explaining the Word of God, but you can't even think about it because you're thinking about, I have to get up tomorrow and take care of my children. I have to cook meals. I have to do the laundry. I have to clean the house. Or you're thinking, I have to get up tomorrow and I have to be prepared for my coursework. I have to write a paper. I have an exam coming up. A new semester, new classes, new assignments. Or maybe you're a workman. Tomorrow I've got jobs to do. I've got customers to please. I've got paperwork to do. And it's so consuming. I have to do all this to support my family. I can't think of anything else. How about it? Does the calling to be a wife and mother ever keep you up? Does the calling to be a father who provides for his family ever take away your sleep at night? Then you understand something that is very real for office bearers too. The amount of work, even if it's not hard work, sometimes can be overwhelming. How am I ever going to get this all finished? Or it might not be the amount, but the difficulty. Not so easy to preach a sermon and then to preach 100 and some in a year. How am I ever going to have the strength for that? It's not so easy to visit with a couple whose marriage is breaking down. It might be only one case that a committee of elders has to deal with, and yet so important, so weighty to them. They have such a desire to do a good job, to know the Word of God and to be able to apply it, to give good advice, that it weighs on them. How can I do this to help this marriage? Or there's a widow, or an orphan, or someone else who has a very distressing need. And when you start digging into all of the circumstances that the deacons want to address as they're helping this person, they can easily say, this responsibility is too much for me. And then it does become hard to sleep. It becomes hard to think about anything else. It becomes hard not to worry and be anxious. Peter says, cast your care upon the Lord. That's the kind of thing he's talking about. Now, before we go on to the next point this morning and our calling to cast those cares on God, I want to underscore the reality that Peter recognizes there are emotional, mental, physical, psychological problems that cause great difficulty for the people of God. There might be some here thinking, okay, now Reverend Sprunk is going to tell us this morning all of our problems really are rather simple. It all boils down to a spiritual issue, and if you would only pray about it, deal with it spiritually, it will all become better. Your fears, your struggles, they'll go away. Peter does not deny the reality of persecution and the pain it causes. A broken bone is real. The Apostle Peter knew that. I know that as well. And then when it comes to the mental and emotional troubles that people experience, even distress that is caused by trauma to the brain, it's very real. There may be chemical imbalances. There may be great pain that has been experienced mentally for a long time, maybe because of abuse, whatever it may be, that causes real changes to the brain. And I'm not saying the easy fix is pray. It's spiritual. Deal with it spiritually. Pray. Of course not. If you have a physical need, a broken bone, go to the doctor. If you have a need for a new diet plan for your physical health, go see a dietitian. If you have mental distress, it may be best to go see a doctor, someone who's an expert in dealing with issues with the brain. Just as if you have trouble with your ears, see an ENT. If you have troubles with your eyes, see an optometrist. But the question still remains, in every one of those cases, knowing the reality of all of these different kinds of cares and burdens, are you taking that burden to the Lord? Are you dealing with the spiritual issues that are brought up by that burden? The Christian, you see, this is what Peter is saying. I'm an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in God. And in everything, this is going to be my counsel. This is going to be what I work with you. I'm not going to work with you, and your office bearers aren't going to work with you with regard to these other things. That's not their area. God says, I'm giving you the oversight of their souls. I'm giving you my word so that you can give them spiritual care. And so even if you have a broken bone and you go to the doctor, the question is this, is that all you're going to do? Is that all you will do? Seek the care of the doctor? Isn't there any spiritual need there to cast that care upon God? But now what does this involve? That's not quite as easy, is it, as taking something you're carrying and giving it to someone else and say, you carry it. I'm not going to carry that anymore. Maybe today you'll be going to, your family will be going to someone else's house for dinner and your wife, your mom has prepared some of the food. She's carrying a bag or she's carrying a pot and she says, here, you carry it. And then she doesn't carry it anymore. You carry that burden. Well, we know it doesn't work that way. We know we can't take whatever it is that causes us anxiety and cast it on God and say, there, God, you have it now, and I'm not carrying it anymore. He's not going to take our daily chores around the house and say, now you don't have to do them. I'll carry that burden. He's not going to go to work and take all of your responsibilities at work so you don't have to have those responsibilities anymore. He isn't going to take our old age or our sicknesses and carry them so that we don't carry them anymore. But he is, this is the key, he is a personal God and he's a powerful God. And that's why we can cast our cares upon him. We can bring them to him because he's able to know them and to sympathize with them. This is why, for example, you can't cast your cares on an idol like Baal. You can try it. Go to Baal sometime and say to Baal, here is my sickness. Here is my worry for my family. Here's my worry at work. He won't hear it. He won't know it. He won't sympathize. But the Lord your God, he knows. He doesn't need you to go to him in prayer to tell him, of course. But rather, he's given you prayer as the means where you can take something you're carrying by yourself. He says, now don't do that. Don't carry it by yourself. You carry it to me in prayer. That's what prayer is, your means to bring it to God. And then you may be sure, he knows. But he's also the God of power. Go to Baal sometime. I don't really want you to do that, of course. But go to him sometime. Say, can you carry my burden as a mother? As a lonely single person, can you carry my burden? My need to support my family, can you carry that burden? He can't. He can't. Can God bear the burden of a single person? Our God? Of course he can't. He has the power. He's a personal God of power. Can he bear the burden of the elderly saint in the nursing home? Of course he can. When you're lying awake at night as a father or mother, ask yourself, can God bear this burden that's too much for me? Of course he can. Can he bear the burden of disease and even of death? And here's the point. No, he doesn't say, cast it on me, and then I carry it, and you don't anymore. He says, you cast it on me, and this is the way that I choose to work. I will hold you and the burden. I will hold you up under the burden. This then is what it means to cast your care upon God. It means you go to Him as the personal God whom you know as your friend. You tell Him your burdens, and through that, become aware He's holding you up with that burden. Now that needs further explanation. Three things just briefly here. And this is what the office bearers work is really when it comes down to it as they work in the church. What do they want to be an example of? And what do they want to teach when they open God's word and when they're trying to give spiritual instruction to the people of God? First of all, make sure you're going to God. Casting your care upon God is an activity that requires great effort. And when God says to you, I want you to cast your care upon me, God is saying, you know, don't you ever think I take your concerns lightly. You know what the trouble is usually? You do. When you don't cast it on God, you know what you're saying? This one's not so big, I can handle it. Or I can find someone else who can help me through this. I don't really need God for this. And God says, I know you better than you know you. I know your weakness. I know your inability to handle anything without me. There's nothing so small that you've got this. You need me. Cast your care upon me. Anytime. And I guess this may sound simple. It's not really. But anytime that the pastor or the elders or the deacons are working with anyone, this really is an essential thing, isn't it? Are you not going to God? That's what you need. Morning, noon, and evening, and sometimes that's not even enough. Pray constantly to God. That might be the key to what's going on in your marriage, or even in your financial circumstances where you're having these great struggles with anxiousness and worry. You're not going to God. Go to God. Cast your care upon Him. This requires not just trying to ignore it, not just leaving it behind, but it requires conscious, hard work and activity. Go to God. Secondly, submit to Him. If you say, I have been wearing out my knees in prayer and still I'm consumed with worry and anxiety, this may be one of the first questions. Are you trying to change God? You may be wearing out your knees in prayer, but you may be focusing all of your energy on trying to change God in your circumstances. That's not casting your care upon God. Casting your care upon God is, God, I depend on you. I submit to you. So pray for that grace. Pray with that spirit. I submit. And Lord, give me the grace to submit. And then that prayer, when it's answered, will bring relief. Thirdly, casting your care upon God means that you trust that God is and will do you good. Do you lay hold of that when you're praying to God, when you're bringing Him your burdens? Do you have some secret thought in your heart? And this will wear you out. It will make you feel the burden. It will distress you and cause worry. He doesn't really love me. He isn't really out for my good. He's really against me. And when you cast your care upon God, you have to say, everything that the Bible says about His power, but also about His love, His mercy that never ends. We sang of that, 102. It's true. He has my good in mind. And He's not. And let the Protestant Reformed office bearers in this congregation emphasize that He's not the God of common grace. His love isn't determined by the circumstances that you're in. He's the God of constant, powerful grace who loves His people always. And it's that knowledge that brings relief. That's the last point this morning. Cast your care upon God. For He cares for you, which means that when you cast that care upon Him, your burden is lightened and you experience that. Not in the way of the burden being lifted. The office bearer still carries the burden of caring for the congregation, but he has this to lighten his load. It doesn't depend on me, but upon God to care for this congregation. The father, the mother have the same lightening of the burden when they think of the great load that God has put upon them to care for their children, their family, but it doesn't depend upon me. I can cast that burden on God, and he will lift me through that burden. God, who never runs out of time, who never runs out of patience, who never runs out of power, he careth for you. And Peter is quite absolute here. When? Always. In what circumstances? All circumstances. He careth for you. And what does that mean? Well, we sang of it. When you think of God's care for us, one word, salvation. You understand then that doesn't mean taking away your responsibilities, that doesn't mean taking away your trials, that doesn't mean saving you from persecution in this life. It means salvation. Salvation from sin. It means Jesus Christ. It means that God has taken that burden of our sin and guilt that we could never carry, that hell that we deserve away from us, because he put it on Christ, and he carried it away through all of his sufferings on the cross. It means that he's always working in 2020, every day, for our salvation, even in our heaviest of trials and burdens. He uses them to lead us to heaven, and then we will have relief. You all agree, I hope, with me this morning, forever. The burdens will be gone. But won't you see this morning that this is the way to walk lightly in 2020? You don't have to carry your burdens on your own. God will carry you and your burdens as you cast your burdens on him. Amen. Father in heaven, bless thy word unto us, that we may know that thou art the God of all love and power, who carried us and our burden of sin through the cross, so that we have no more sin. And that we may know thee as the God who continues to carry us, our families, our children, our grandchildren, to carry us through our sicknesses and diseases, through old age and even death, unto salvation in heaven. Father, bless us with the assurance of that through Jesus Christ, in whose name we conclude this service and our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's sing now Psalter number 150. Based on